त्यासून तो सान गायता काळजातली सिंती मेटावूसो माय भाषे करपिता प्रणाम ओडविकतीची गाजोन गावान गा वा 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 रे वा वा कोंकणी आमची भास आयकूं कितली मधुर जशी दर्या गास घरान तावून शहरान वाळो तिसो सुवास संसार भर पावून शिकलेली मायच्या उचक्यार बसून घरात आपल्या उलोन सदा साकिया तिची गोडसाण विसरून ती कावेचे नई कोणी विरगे फाटल्यान दाखूं कापले वडपण वरत्या संतोसान गायता काळजांतली सिंती मेता उसोन भाषे करपिता प्रणाम ओडविकतीची गाजोन गावान गा वा 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 रे वा वा कोंकणी आमची भास आयकूं कितली मधुर जशी दर्या गास घरान तावून शहरान वाळो तिसो सुवास संसार भर पावो तिचे खातीर वावरून संवसारार आसात जायते आताय ते शिंपडून कोंकणे खातीर हुस्को आमचो सदांच जिवो दवरून एका मनान आसूंक जाय मना भेद सांडून माय भाशेच्या मोगान वरत्या संतोसान गायता काळजांतली सिंती मेता उसोन भाषे करपिता प्रणाम ओडविकतीची गाजोन गावान गा वा 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 रे वा वा कोंकणी आमची भास आयकूं कितली मधुर जशी दर्या गास घरान तावून शहरान वाळो तिसो सुवास संवसार भर
नमस्कार आणि स्वागत करता हांव रिची तुमका आयच्या सुशेगाद कोंकणी रेडिओ प्रोग्रामार. म्हाका आज व्हडलो व्हरतो संतोष ह्या पहिल्या 2020 ह्या पहिल्या प्रोग्रामार म्हज्या सांगात आज आसा मॅथ्यू डिसुजा. तो आमकां मोटरिंगा विशीं शिकयतलो या मोटरिंगा विशीं सांगतलो. विल टेल अस मोर अबाउट वॉट मोटरिंग इज ऑल अबाउट. And how we could buy cars, what are the road rules in this in New Zealand, and what are the licensing requirements. But why we are happy to have Matthew is because he's a youngster, and this program tries to promote a lot of youngsters from our community. Welcome to our program, Matthew.
Good evening, Richard. It's great to be here. Good evening, everyone. I hope you're having a very lovely Saturday afternoon.
Well, Matthew, you come from a Konkani-speaking family?
I do, yes. My mother's Mangalorean and my dad is Goan.
Oh, okay. So who speaks Konkani at home?
My mother speaks Konkani. She's fluent in Konkani.
So if I ask you a few questions in Konkani, can you reply to me in English?
I can try my best, but I can't guarantee anything.
Okay. तुझे नाम कितने?
Our now Matthew Asa.
No, no, you can speak in.
All right. My name is Matthew.
Okay. Matthew, तू कितने करता है अंगा New Zealand अंग काले करता है? शिक्षा ही क्या काम करता है?
Yes, I'm a student over here. I'm a university student, and I work in marketing as well.
Okay. And what are you studying at the university? काले शिक्षा university.
I study marketing at the university and innovation and entrepreneurship as well.
Uh-huh. And does it help you in your part-time job, or is the part-time job helping you in your studies?
The studies help me get the part-time job, and I guess they sort of link together and help each other out.
Mm-hmm. So a few words in Konkani, Matthew, and if you could tell me those in English, that'll be great. So, you know, Mangaloreans are very, very attached to one of their popular curries as such. It is called Bendani Sungtan Kadi. What does that mean in English?
So, Benda is a lady's finger.
Oh, okay.
And Sungtan, I'm not quite sure.
Shrimps?
Ah, right.
Prawns?
Yes.
Prawns?
Yep.
Prawns, okay. And what would you call, what is the English equivalent name for bangre? Bangre. Have you heard about bangre? It's a fish.
Yep.
What is it called in English? Oh, Matthew is looking on his computer.
You asked for a young person, so.
Okay, bangre is mackerels, so.
Right.
That's a very popular fish among the Mangaloreans as well as among the Goans. So, Matthew, you're going to talk to us about motoring. Tell us, how did you get into this particular passion of motoring? Is it because your dad provided you with cars at a very young age, or it is something that toys which took fancy and became a reality?
It was... I guess you could say that I'm one of those rare people that cars is sort of in my blood. From the moment I could talk, I was just talking about cars. And it helped my mom and dad buying me cars and books and all that sort of stuff. But it was something that I've had ever since, I guess, I could talk.
Mm-hmm. And so you have made this passion of yours, and you have taken it to a new level. So you blog in some... very well-known magazines here on motoring. Is that right?
Yes, I do. I blog on a website called drivetribe.com, which is an international website for car enthusiasts. Uh-huh. And I blog locally as well on a website called Tarmac Life, which promotes New Zealand lifestyle around cars.
Uh-huh. So what's your focus in this blogging? What's your primary focus? Is it only to talk about the specifications of cars, or is it to talk about what are the new things that are going to happen in the field of cars?
I write a lot about current cars and review them as well, and I also talk about what's going to happen in the future and the state of electric cars and other sort of news pieces around cars as well.
So let's start at the beginning. You know, we don't want to go too much into the future. We don't want to go too much into all the different types of cars that are here. But you would be aware that a lot of immigrants are here. Some have just come into the country. The country has opened up to new immigrants, some of them from India. What would you recommend to them, or what would you suggest to them how they go about buying a car? Because public transport is still not up to the mark in this country. So you have to have a personalized mode of transport. What would you recommend going about buying a car?
Okay, as Richard said, that public transport isn't so good in a lot of places in New Zealand, so it is really important to have a car, because it's either public transport doesn't cover some areas or it's pretty infrequent, so having a car makes everything a lot more convenient. So you're in a new country, you know, or if you're new to car buying as well, I'll cover a few things to look out for that can really help you with getting the best cars around from the best places as well. So we'll start off with a few basic facts about cars in New Zealand. So about half the cars imported into New Zealand, since we don't make any of our own, are actually used cars, and the other half being brand new cars. So the average age of a used car in New Zealand is about 14 years. We do like to keep our cars for a long time until we can sort of get the most life out of them. And the average mileage of a freshly imported used car is about 70,000 kilometers in the country. Most of our used cars come from Japan. They are mostly Japanese cars as well that come from Japan. But we do get a few imports from places like Europe as well. The most popular brands on the used car market are, of course, Toyota. They are also the most popular brand new car maker over here in New Zealand. Along with them, we have Ford, Holden, which is a Australian brand, Honda, and Mazda. Those are the most popular used car brands in the country. But the most popular car, most popular used car, should I say, isn't actually by any of them. It's, in fact, the Nissan Tita. There you go. Strange fact.
But tell me, Matthew, just to interject here, you said about a vast majority of them are used cars and some are new cars. Are these new imports or are these new CKD kits, knockdown kits that are assembled here in New Zealand?
Right. So those are all brand new cars made in Korea, Japan, Germany, and brought into New Zealand. So we don't assemble cars
any
or make
cars.
Cars.
Yeah. Okay.
Not at all.
Okay. So they are brand new cars just brought in here as such.
So either from Australia as well, they used to have car manufacturing over there, which they don't anymore.
Oh, yes. So you're saying the Nissan Tita is the most popular used car that is imported into the country. What, any reason for it?
It's Nissan is a reliable brand. You know, they've been around for a long time, and the car is quite affordable. It's about 14 years now as well, 14 years old, so it's about the average age, and you can get a lot of them around, so you can take your pick of the color or engine size or even the body shape. There's hatchbacks and there's sedans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the Tita is more popular among the importers. What's the engine size of the Tita?
The Tita is a 1.8 liter engine, so that's gives quite a good balance of New Zealand roads, which are quite hilly and often make cars struggle a bit. So it's a bit better to have a car that has a slightly larger engine over here.
So Nissan is normally referred to have a very robust engine. Any reason? Is it because of their association with Renault, or is it because of Nissan by itself has a good engine manufacturing base?
It's Nissan's engine manufacturing base by itself. They've been, you know, a lot of their engines are really reliable and they've been making it for a long time. So with experience, you know, with time, you get better at things. So that's what Nissan have been doing.
Mm-hmm. So continuing with your story about imported cars, what are the other cars that are imported into the country? And why? Other used cars. Let's stick to used cars.
So another popular, really popular used car, in fact, is the Toyota Corolla. It's also one of the best-selling brand new cars. It's known the world over, you know, wherever, whichever country you know, you're most likely going to see a Toyota Corolla, mm-hmm. many Toyota Corollas, frankly. So it's a trustable name. It's, mm-hmm. Again, one of the most popular cars over here.
Mm-hmm. So if you were to advise me as a new immigrant, and I've just come off the boat, and I've got to go for a couple of interviews in the next few weeks, where would you direct me to get the best cars in the city of Auckland and at a good price?
Right, so in New Zealand we have a place called Trade Me. It's a website, and it's sort of like eBay mostly like eBay basically, where people can sell things through there. You can list items, they can be brand new, you can have shops over there as well. So a quick Trade Me search will point you towards either independent private sellers, so the people like you and me wanting to sell their car and get a new one, or dealerships actually have their own pages on Trade Me. So if you go on there, you know, put in your price range and all that sort of stuff, you can get a whole lot of results from dealers and from independent sellers as well.
So what would be the criteria? What would be the list of items that I would have to tick off first to zero down or to narrow down on my choice? How would you go about it, and what are the parameters that one would look at? One is obviously my budget.
Yep.
But there are other technical parameters that I need to look at to ensure that, hey, I'm buying the right product and I'm not buying a lemon.
Yep. That's exactly right. So price is really important when it comes to buying a car. Mm-hmm. But keep in mind that for a certain budget, you could get a really nice older car, but often the safety regulations aren't so good with older cars. So you ideally want something that's a bit newer, that'll have, you know, at least two airbags and some sort of crash protection system around the car and mm-hmm. stuff that'll keep you safe on the road.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let's start with the first item. So when you go into a dealership, or when you go into or when you've zeroed down on a car on a website, what's the first thing that you would look at?
Well, in this case, we can turn to our old friend Google, and just a simple Google search of that dealership, and you just want to read the reviews and make sure that, you know, firstly, the person that you're going to buy a car from, the dealership, is actually an authorized dealer. You don't want to buy a car from somebody who's not actually allowed to sell you a car.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So licensed dealers is the first thing that you need to ensure, that they are licensed, so that all your rights relating to consumer rights are protected. Wonderful.
Yep.
So that's the first point that you need to sort of tick off.
Yep. So you can also tell that because in most dealerships' name, they'll have a small sign at the side saying LMVT, which stands for Motor Vehicle Trader, so Licensed Motor Vehicle Trader.
Okay. So what are the... Can you just list quickly before we just take a short little break for music? Can you list quickly? One is whether they are licensed. What else?
So licensed and reviews, that's the first thing you'd like to look at. Second, you'd probably want to do a background check of the car. This can be bought through a report online, and it'll tell you if the car's been stolen or re-registered or...
So what's that website?
In an accident. So the website is called Motorweb, and you can get reports for any car in the country if you have the registration. Mm-hmm. And it'll also tell you if there's any finance owing on the car. So in New Zealand, that's pretty important because car loans are based on the car rather than on the person.
Ah, yeah. That's the Personal Security Act, isn't it?
Yes.
So where every product is registered by the lender as saying that it has got a charge on it.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So let's take a break there. Let's hold your information and let's listen to some music.
Vegle, veglen,
तुम्ही ऐकत आहात सुशेगा दनपार कोंकणी रेडिओ प्रोग्राम 104.6 प्लॅनेट एफ एम अवेर. आमच्या संगात आज आता एकलो यंग तरणाटो मॅथ्यू डिसूजा आणि आमकां मोटरिंगा विशीं म्हायत दिता की आमी गाडयो या कार्स न्यूझीलंडान कशें परचेस करीचे, काले पुराय सारीचे आणि खंयच्या बजेटार या curly budget I'm going to do purchase kastana. So Matthew, when you broke off, we spoke about two important things. One we said is that we need to find out about the dealer, the person who is selling the vehicle, whether he or she is licensed, or even if it is on a website, we need to find out that the person is licensed. The second thing you mentioned is to do a check on Motorweb to find whether the vehicle is under some financing, or whether the vehicle has got a history of accidents, or how old is the vehicle. All details about the vehicle can be found on Motorweb. So what are the other three or four items that you would like to tell our listeners that they need to look into before they actually zero down on a vehicle?
Yep, those are two really important things, but we've got three more coming up as well. Next, obviously, once you've narrowed down on a particular dealership and you're pretty happy with a particular car, then the next step is to go and actually have a look at the car. You know, you want to look at if the paint's okay and if there's any rust that you can see, stuff like that. If any of the parts are falling off on the inside, any of the plastics, stuff like that. So general tapping around and knocking, like as if you were knocking on someone's door around the inside of the car, will tell you if things are still in good condition or if you need to look somewhere else.
So in most of the cars, people say, hey, have you checked whether there is rust? Now, it's quite difficult for a person who is not so familiar with cars to find out which part of the body is rusted or not rusted. How do you sort of, which are the places that one needs to look at to check whether there's rust or no rust?
Right. So if you are kind of, you don't know that much about cars, the best thing to do in that instance is to take your car to an independent inspector. But if you do want to go around looking for rust yourself, the main parts to look at are the hinges of the car. So any place where parts are moving or opening, all those kind of gaps. If you see a little bit of reddish color around, that'll tell you if there's rust there and if it's been patched up as well.
Mm-hmm. So you can the surface is not even, it's a bit bumpy.
Yes.
Somebody has put some amount of layer on it and painted it all over again, done a bad job. as you would say. So what's next that you need to look at, apart from inspecting the vehicle?
Right, so if you've carried out your inspection and you're not quite happy and you'd like to get somebody else involved, then you can go to the AA or VTNZ or even your local mechanic if you have one, and they can all do independent inspections for you of the car, and that'll tell you really everything you need to know about the condition of the car.
And from there, what do you do after you say, okay, the car is fine, it's good, it's a good buy? Then what do you do next? You go and strike a deal, or you sort of still shop around to see if you get a better deal?
Not quite yet. So next up, the report should tell you if the car has a cam belt, is belt driven, or is chain driven. So this is, you could say, one of the most important parts of the engine. So it's the thing that keeps the engine running and keeps all the levers running. So if there's, you know, a more important part that could go wrong in a car, there isn't one. This is it, really.
The cam belt.
Yes.
And there are a lot of people talking about it, but very few of them know the difference between a chain belt and a normal leather belt, or the other type of a belt, which is possibly the snapping of it is quite high compared to a chain belt.
Yes, exactly. So as Richard said, you want to look out for if the car, most Japanese cars before 2010 will tend to have a rubber belt driving all the gears and levers together. So if your car has done around 100,000 kilometers, that belt should be changed every 100,000 kilometers. Otherwise, you really will want to avoid that car if you can. It's a very crucial part of the car. But on the other hand, if you know that the car's got a chain, then as long as the maintenance has been done on the car, you know, basic stuff like the oil changed, all that sort of stuff, then the chain is fine to go on for pretty much the life of the car.
So would it be right to say that Nissan cars are much more better because most of their cars have got chain belt?
Yes, Nissan does use a lot more chains in their car, which is as compared to Toyota or Suzuki or the other popular Japanese car manufacturers. So yes, if you go for something with a chain, it's a bit less maintenance because replacing that rubber belt is quite an expensive job. It'll cost you usually at least $700, and doing it every 100,000 Ks, I guess that's a saving that you have if you buy chain-driven car.
So you made that inspection, you come to the choice, or you come to the understanding that some have rubber belts, some have chain belt. The rubber belt car is much better, less mileage, has a good feel, you look good in the car while driving it.
Yep, okay. That's always important. The styling must appeal to you. If you don't like the way a car looks, then you don't want to wake up every morning and walk out and then, I don't know, feel unpleasant as soon as you look at your own car.
So we have found that the person whom you are buying the car from is a licensed person. You have done a history check on the web. You have checked, done an exterior check by yourself or with the help of an inspector that everything is fine with the car from exterior. You check the cam belt, then what?
Right, this is sort of the perfect scenario because everything has gone right and gone to plan. But as we know with life, the predictable thing about it is its unpredictability. So the next step is to take the car for a test drive. So if you haven't seen anything so far from poking and prodding around, and if your inspector hasn't seen anything, driving the car will be the true test of how good it is.
Okay, Matthew, let's wait here for a moment. I'm just come from overseas.
Yep.
I'm new into this country. I don't have a driver's license, which is issued by this country, but I have a driver's license of an overseas country. Now, what are the rules around that before I step into a test drive? Are the dealers comfortable with that you don't have a local license, but you have an overseas license? Are they comfortable?
They should be, because if you have an Indian license, for example, that allows you to drive in New Zealand for I think it's 6 months to a year, so it's perfectly valid, and you can drive on New Zealand roads and show the police your license if they stop you, and that should be fine. And in most Asian countries, that's the case, that your license over there will be valid here for up to a year. But if you're from countries like Singapore or I think South Korea and Japan, your license can be directly transferred over to mm-hmm. a New Zealand license over here. Same thing for a lot of Europe as well.
Mm-hmm. So you now jump into the car, you give it a charge, and off you go.
Yep, off so, you go. And
and what do you look into the car? What do you think about the car? How do you start assessing the car? What are the points that you try, would you tell a new buyer that when he or she is driving this test car on a test drive, what one needs to look at?
First of all, you would don't want to be hearing any sort of metal scraping metal sound. So imagine if you take a fork and scrape it against a knife. You know that sound, right? That kids do to irritate you. You don't want to be hearing that from your car, because that means that some sort of metal is scraping against a part that it shouldn't be scraping against. Mm-hmm. So if you hear that kind of sound, then just walk away from that car. It's probably not worth the maintenance costs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Another thing that you'd want to look out for is the suspension, especially usually if the car has come from Japan, their roads there are very smooth, so the suspension of the car should be in good quality. But you just want to hear out for any sort of knocking sound. So again, look out for, you know, somebody knocking on your door, that kind of sound. But apart from that, your car should be all fine to go.
But, you know, these are not Rolls-Royce cars. There'll be some amount of knocking somewhere, some tinkering noise coming out somewhere. Or you may go over a gravel road, or you may go over a rough road and it may make some sort of noise. How do you assess suspensions? What's the quick dipstick test for checking whether your suspension is good or not? Just go over a bump right away?
Yep.
It may cause damage to the car.
It could, but the easiest thing to do is just park the car on a flat surface, so a road or driveway or anything, and then just push the car back and forth.
Uh-huh.
And if you leave the car, it should steady itself as soon as you have done pushing it. If it's still swaying, like, I don't know,
like a
swing
yo-yo
or something, yeah, like a yo-yo after you finish pushing it, then that means the suspension is sort of short to bits.
So that's a quick check, is it?
Yes, that's your easy check for the suspension quality.
Yeah, okay. So you now looked at the car, everything is fine. Then what next?
Right, so if you're buying from a dealer and it's a freshly imported car, it probably won't be registered in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
So most people will charge you somewhere between $300 to $500 to get the car certified and registered with number plates for New Zealand. So usually that's sort of the thing that you can use to negotiate, and mm-hmm. you can say, I can meet you at your list price as long as you give me that $500 package for free. And a lot of the times people will compromise either mm-hmm. that, or they'll give you some sort of discount on mm-hmm. the car. You can find a few things here and there to pick out and irritate the dealer, and I'm sure they'll mark down the price for you a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So what is the average prices for a 1.8 litre car, or say a 1.5 litre car? What's the average pricing in New Zealand?
So
a good used car.
The perfect example, let's look at the Nissan Titan again. Best-selling used car in New Zealand, 1.8 litre. It's about 2006, so 14 years old. The usual price for that kind of a car with good mileage is somewhere between $7,000 to sort of $9,000.
Wow.
You could be even looking at $6,000, depending if you go to a bigger dealer, for example, who has the ability to reduce the price more. So
uh-huh.
that's around the price range you're looking at.
That's quite a good price for a 13 or a 14 year old car. Which other cars would you recommend in that price range?
Stuff like the Toyota Corolla, Suzuki Swift, Mazda 3, or the Accela, as it's called in Japan. All those kind of cars of about the same age, 14 years, 15 mm-hmm. years, sometimes even 13 years, you can get mm-hmm. for less than $9,000, which is very reasonable.
Now, you've given us a walkthrough of how to go about picking up a vehicle for a person who is fresh off the boat and who doesn't know much about cars. So you go and picked up the car. But there are a couple of people in the country or in the city and in your friend circle that say, hey, don't go to the dealer. You can make a direct import from Japan or some other place, and, you know, they're much more cheaper. What's your view on that?
I bought a car recently in November, and beforehand I was looking at a particular car, which is quite rare to find in New Zealand. So I looked at that avenue of importing a car from Japan, and what I found was that even though the price itself of the car was cheaper in Japan, because of the paperwork required and the language barrier and all that stuff, all those sort of import taxes, by the time the car gets into your hands, into your garage in New Zealand, it's pretty much the same price as what you would have paid for the same car with the same mileage over here from a dealer. So It's really a whole lot more hassle, and unless the car is something really special that you're looking for, then it's usually not worth going down that route.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So if I may ask, Matthew,
go ahead.
What car are you driving at the moment and why?
So right now I drive a 2012 Volkswagen Golf GTI, which I bought in November last year, and I like it because it looks good and it's quite fast. Yep, looking good in it is pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me smile every time I get behind the wheel of it. That's something I looked for in a car, and I got it with this car.
And so what's your trigger point of changing that car?
So far I bought the car, and I intend to keep it for about 5 years. It's got really low mileage, so I reckon in about 5 years I'll be... I've done quite a few kilometers and be ready for my next car.
Okay, so we'll ask about that. Till then, we'll listen to some music.
Jesus, jamon gachi, we can touch ya, me can.
lovely song by Father John about children, and Sarginchya Raja by Father John. We were talking to Matthew about our first phase of how to go about buying a car in the market. We looked at 5 points. Number one is the person whom you're buying from, whether he or she is licensed to buy, making a quick check whether the car has any history of accidents, damages, whether it's stolen, whether there's a charge on it. Then having a look at the car externally, having a look at the car internally, and then going for a test drive and then checking out whether the pricing of the car is fit for us or not. Matthew drives a Volkswagen GT, is it?
GTI, a Volkswagen Golf GTI.
You know, every alphabet on that signboard behind the car makes a huge difference of who you are and what you are. It demonstrates your status symbol. So, Matthew, we have done all that. I've got the money in the pocket. I bought the car. Now, we need to know that there are some rules and regulations. Sometimes people, when they come from countries where there are no stiff rules and regulations, then they carry their old habits. So can you educate us on some nice few tips that we must remember when driving on the roads in New Zealand? What are the key rules? There's the NZTA, which has listed a raft of rules, and there is a code book, is what they call it. So can you just take us through it in a snapshot?
Okay, so, you know, you've got your perfect car now. You're happy with that. Next up, it's time to get your New Zealand driving license now. As we discussed earlier, that most countries in the world, if you've got a driving license there, it can be directly converted for use in New Zealand for a short amount of time, usually a year or maximum. And once you've reached that stage where you're happy to get to the next step in your New Zealand driver's license, then you're looking at a few changes, I guess, that separates New Zealand driving from the rest of the world. So in a lot of countries in the world, driving is pretty organized.
Just before you get onto that, onto the license part of it, Matthew, before you get the car on the road, you need to insure it, isn't it?
Yes, that's a very important thing. And you should always look to have your insurance going from the moment that you take ownership of the car, because you don't want to drive it home and start the insurance from the next day and then something happens on your drive home.
Yeah, so insurance is key. Again, that's a different exercise of shopping and finding out who gives you a best deal.
And again, the internet is your best friend in that situation. Everything, all the companies have quotes online as well.
And then you have the license part of it, which you were talking about. Continue.
Yeah, so if you have an overseas license and if you can't directly convert it into a New Zealand full license, then you have to go through a bit of a different route. So first up, you'll get your license transferred to a New Zealand learner's license. So this is a phase to sort of familiarize you with the local rules, especially one thing that sort of separates New Zealand from a lot of the other world is roundabouts. They are all over the place over here, and in most other countries they have traffic lights for the same purpose, but in New Zealand the driving's a bit more smoother. So roundabouts, that's something that you'll get used to over time, and then they'll just eventually become
to go in or not to go in.
Yep, and which way to give way as well. There's cars coming from all sorts of directions. You can easily lose your head in that sort of situation, but you should always be looking to give way to your right, and if your right's clear, then you can go.
So that's one key thing in the driving in the city area. What about driving in rural areas and highways? You know, a lot of kids, a couple of years ago, a lot of kids who came here as students, particularly those studying at the university, and you must be having a lot of overseas students in your class, they seem to be just taking off at the drop of a hat over the weekends. What would you recommend that they follow when they're driving on the highways?
Right. So if you, firstly, if you don't have the legitimate license to be on the roads, then you risk getting stopped and fined by the police. They are fairly good with their coverage, so that's always a risk that you'd rather not take. But something that they should be looking out for, especially if they're going to be driving at night, for example, on rural roads. The rural roads especially don't usually have street lights, so it's really important that your headlights are working so you can see ahead and you don't end up in a ditch or you don't end up killing a deer, all that sort of stuff.
What about speed?
Right. As soon as you get onto the motorway, most of the places you'll be doing at least 80, sometimes 100 as well. There's some stretches outside of Auckland where the speed limit is 110 as well. But on most rural roads, you'll be doing at least 80 kilometers per hour.
Mm-hmm. What about in the cities? What are the different rules in the cities as far as speed is concerned? I got a speeding ticket during Christmas, just 3 kilometers above on one instance. And on the same road while coming back, I was 5 kilometers above. $30 fine. So what's the limit?
Right, that's always a confusing thing. So in New Zealand, there's what you would have been caught out by is this thing they call the Christmas period, I guess, change in rules, where from about mid-December to the first week of Jan, the speed limit, the tolerance rather, that police will give you goes from about 4 kilometers per hour to either 0 or 1, depending on how generous they are that year. So that's something you've got to look out for. So during that period especially, you want to be at 50 or below 50, preferably 49 on the safer side. But for most of the year, 54 or 55, they'll just pass it off and you'll be okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, you are fresh in the country. You are not of driving age. So what's the driving age in this country?
Right, so the lowest possible driving age in New Zealand is 16 years of age, and that's the stage at which you can sit your learner's license test. That's a theory-based test, so sort of like a school exam, which 16-year-olds would be quite familiar with. You sit at a computer and you answer a whole bunch of questions about how to drive in New Zealand and which side you should give way to, and again, like any sort of test for a person that age, the studying, if you like it, can be done through a little book called the New Zealand Road Code. Reading through that gives you everything you need to know in terms of rules in the country, driving rules in the country.
So what do we get after passing the test? Something called a restricted license?
Right. So after you pass that test, you get into the first step of the, I guess, New Zealand driver license ladder, which is called the learner license. That's what you get.
Okay.
And you need to now spend some time, a minimum of 6 months, driving with another person by your side, a person who's got a 2 years full license.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to have your elbows up and you need to drive only when that person is by your side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then after 6 months, you can then...
Yes.
Upgraded to a restricted license.
Yes. After 6 months of driving on a learner's with a person next to you, not to forget, you can then move on to the next step of the ladder, which is called the restricted license. Now, why it's called that is because you're allowed some freedom in this scenario where you can spend a bit of time driving by yourself as well, which is during the hours of about 5 in the morning to about 10 in the night. You can drive by yourself, but after 10 or before 5 a.m., you have to drive again, like your learner's license, with somebody experienced by your side.
Did it happen to you, Matthew? Did Dad come along after 10 o'clock when you went for parties and things like that?
No, at that sort of stage, Dad would just say, You can drive, but I don't go to too many parties that last that long, so I was usually home before 10 took the car.
Okay, because some parents are so concerned, you don't drive, I will come. And I've heard parents, going quite in the middle of the night to pick up their kids from different locations. So you've gone on to restricted, and at this stage, do you go back to the NZTA to get yourself certified, or what happens? You just can straight away fill in a form and get it? Or have you to appear for an exam to convert from learners to restricted?
Yep, to convert your license from learners to restricted, you do have to sit an exam, but it's a different kind of exam. You can't study from a textbook for this one, and you can't use a computer to answer the questions. This exam actually involves doing a bit of driving, and the test is usually about 1 hour long, and you'll be doing it with an instructor with you, somebody who's either from the AA or VTNZ, which are the two certified testing stations in New Zealand. And in the test, they'll take you through motorway driving, normal street driving, a bit of parallel parking as well, all those kind of things that you're most likely to do during your day-to-day driving.
And wouldn't it be advisable to first check your car out, see that your headlamps are working, your tail lamps are working? I still remember a friend of mine, she never forgives me, because I gave her a car for a test, for a driver's license test, and one of my tail lamps was not working. She failed straight away. So what are the rules around this? What do you need to check before you go to the test?
Right, so the first thing, there are a couple of things that you'll need to remember to make sure that you can actually drive during the test and that you won't get a fail straight away. So you must have your driving license on you, firstly. They'll ask to see that straight away. If you've forgotten that at home, then it's an instant fail. I actually know a person who did this. It's easier to do than you think, surprisingly. So, have your driving license on you. That's the first thing they'll check. The second thing they'll check is if your car is actually allowed to be on the road. So if it has a warrant of fitness and a valid registration, if those two things are fine, you're good to go. And before you set off, preferably the previous night, you should be looking at whether your headlights are working, whether your taillights are working, whether, you know, the mirrors work, all that sort of stuff. So
seat belts.
Yep, whether the seat belts are okay. Those are all things that they'll do a quick check of. And just to make sure as well that your car has no major structural damage on it. A few dents here and there on the bumper are okay, and that happens to every car in every country. But if it's got something, a big impact on the door that has actually crushed the door a little bit, they're not going to allow you to drive with a car like that.
So, Matthew, we're just running out of time. So any few more advices that you would give to people who have just come into the country as immigrants or students who are here on a short visit until they finish their programs? Any more advices on key advices, key issues about the New Zealand driving rules and the road rules?
As soon as you get here and get a bit settled, set yourself up with an internet connection, because everything you need to know is on the New Zealand Transport Authority website, or NZTA, and you can also find that sort of information on the AA and VTNZ websites. Or as well, your local family and friends around here should be able to help you out with that. The driving license rules especially are pretty general knowledge sort of stuff.
So thanks, Matthew, for coming on the program. Would you like to leave your details to the listeners so that they can write directly to you to ask more questions or to take your guidance on which car to buy and at what price to buy and several other rules around motoring in this country? Would you like to leave your details?
Sure. Thank you very much for having me in your ears and for listening to my tips and tricks to car buying and driving. You can also find me on drivetribe.com. A simple search of Matthew D'Souza, which is D'Souza, should pop up with my name. Or you can also email me directly if you have any car queries at Matt, that's MattDSZA@gmail.com. You can reach me there and I'll be happy to help out with your car buying problems. Thanks again, and I look forward to being on the show another time as well.
Okay. So Matthew is not just going to sign off and go away after this program. He's going to come around every month to give us a few more insights on motor vehicles and motoring in New Zealand. So thanks for that, Matthew. And we would look forward to you next month once again at the same time, same place.
No problem. Enjoy your afternoon. Enjoying the lovely Kokanee music that Richard is playing for you. And I'll see you guys around. Thank you.
Well, before we get on to music, I have a small announcement. Those who are interested in enhancing their leadership skills, there is a program coming up on the 22nd of February, that is next Saturday, between 2 p.m. and 5 p.m., a leadership program conducted by Robin Cooper. It is at the Church of the Savior Community Hall at Blockhouse Bay. If you're interested, call Audrey Cooper on 021-141-5778 or write to Audrey Cooper at Audrey C. 3161@gmail.com. So this is about developing leaders and enhancing lives. So I hope you enjoyed this few tips that Matthew gave us. And as I said, it is quite a moment of excitement for us at Sushegat Denpar, because it's a youngster, a young adult who's come and guided us through this whole maze of motoring in New Zealand. So enjoy your afternoon till we catch up with you next Saturday.